is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning, this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Tuesday, the 4th of February, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green as we celebrate the 4th anniversary of On the Clock with Erin Green. Tomorrow, I am going to have some trivia of On the Clock 4th anniversary giveaway. I've got four special on-the-clock prizes, and then we've got some prizes left over from our holiday giveaway. So the thing's small, but they're nice, and it's a special occasion. So we all gonna have some fun. We're gonna do that on tomorrow's show. To start the show, I want to remind you about one of my favorite events in the country, brought to us by Four Seasons Race Management. It's the Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue, Who Is Run number 3. It's the Fun Run Walk Push Roll, brought to you for the month of love for February. This year's event will take place Saturday, February the 8th, 2025. The race start time is 6 a.m. The race route is a 5K, and they start at Arawaki and they go into Slow Bend and back. The cost is $70 per couple. You must register as a couple. You can register at fourseasonsracemanagement.com. That's fourseasonsracemanagement.com. You can contact Four Seasons Race Management at 242-804-8595. Or at fourseasonsracemanagement@gmail.com. Now we've got a trivia. Today we're giving away a pair, right? So you're gonna get two complimentary race entries, two swag bags, two t-shirts, and two race bibs to the winner of the Running in Love 3 giveaway trivia. Participants in this event will be eligible to win the grand raffle prize, which is two round-trip tickets on Bahamas Air anywhere they fly, or the second prize, which is a weekend stay in an Airbnb in Exuma. And you must be registered in the race, and you must be in person, you must be there, I guess, at the drawing to be eligible to win either of the prizes. This year's event, of course, is sponsored by City of Hope. It is the City of Hope who is running in love with you, number 3. Bahamas Air, Bahamas Brewery and Beverage Co., Thompson Trading Company, National Agencies Limited, Bahamas Wholesale Agencies, and Tara Butler are all partners and sponsors of this event. It's going to be fun. The Fun Run Awards are available to the first, the second, and the third place couples to cross the line. All finishers receive a t-shirt and a medal. Again, this is the Roses Are Red, Violets Are Blue, Who Is Running in Love with You race in the Race Management Race Series. It's going to be a good time. Now, I'm going to throw out the numbers to call. And then as soon as the producer is ready, I'm going to send out the question. Now, The organizers of the race have asked me to remind potential participants that they want to give this prize to a couple who are going to participate in the race. They really want to make it accessible to a couple that intend on participating in the race. So here are the numbers to call: 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for Family Island listeners. Two things: you still got time to get to Nassau to participate in the race this Saturday. And if you can't get to Nassau, you could give the tickets to a couple that you know that would love to participate in the event. Now, I'm not throwing out the question yet. Like I said, I'm waiting for my producer to get ready, but here's what you could do. You can go to the website, fourseasonsracemanagement.com, because I guarantee you will find the answer there. You will find the answer there. I say, as we wait for our producer. Good morning, Mr. Cianuri.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm doing well, man. Doing well.
Good, good. I want to talk what's in the news this morning. I want to start in today's Nassau Guardian. We are going to page 2 to read this story. Probation and fine for cop who solicited sex from teen. A police corporal was on Monday fined and placed on probation for soliciting sex from an underage girl. Senior Justice Cheryl Grant Thompson ordered Gregory Taylor to pay a $15,000 fine and placed him on probation for a year. Failing to pay the fine or violating the terms of probation, Taylor received the penalty after he pleaded guilty to attempted procuration. According to the prosecution, the 13-year-old initiated contact with Taylor after getting his number from her mother's phone. Taylor gave the mother his number after she made a complaint concerning a relative. Taylor and the minor's conversations later turned sexual, with him asking her to perform sex acts. In an earlier court appearance, Taylor apologized to the girl and her mother. According to Taylor, the offense was out of character, as he had worked with young people for years without anything inappropriate happening. End of article. I'm going to now go to the Tribune. We're going to read the same article. It has some different information in it. $15,000 fine for officer who tried to solicit sex from minor. Here is some of the different information. The Tribune could not verify the officer's employment status up to press time. A reported text exchange showed his attempts towards her. After owning up to the offense, Taylor apologized to the complainant and her mother, saying his actions resulted from poor judgment. He was subsequently fined and ordered to be on good behavior for a year. He was warned that failure to comply would result in 3 years in prison. He made the first payment yesterday and must pay $2,500 each month until June. According to the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act, people who attempt to procure unlawful sexual intercourse from those under 18 can face 8 years in prison. Okay, so the officer, the Tribune say they could not verify the officer's employment status up to press time. The officer took a plea deal or made a plea deal. Here's the first question. Should police officers be allowed to take a plea deal in matters of this nature? Should a police officer be allowed to take a plea deal for a grievous crime? For a sexual offense? sexual violence, for a heinous offense, for a grievous offense? Should a plea deal even be on the table? Here's the next question. Should a police officer be fined for an instance of violence, a sexual offense, sexual misconduct? Now, of course, the charge was attempting to procure sex from a minor. I think that's still sexual violence. See, but in our culture, culturally, we have a problem. We don't see any problem with this cultural attribute, this thing we call begging. I just asking 17 times in a row, even though you said no 25 times in a row. What's wrong with just asking over and over and over and over again? What's wrong? Here's my question, though. Is there a difference when an individual who has volunteered and taken up an oath to uphold the law, is there a difference when that individual engages in an offense versus an ordinary citizen? The text says the only deal he should get for begging a 13-year-old is caning. I have a question. What you have in common with a 13-year-old? That's what the text is saying. What do you have in common with a 13-year-old? Good morning, Aaron. There should be no plea deals. You did the crime. You do the time. No one is above the distinction. Yeah, we know no one is above the law. Surely, people who have sworn an oath to uphold the law and enforce the law have a greater duty of care in doing so. So the first question I have is, do we need a legislative change that prevents police officers from taking plea deals? Second of all, should a fine be issued in a matter like this? Third question, should police officers be, what's it, summarily? Is that the right term? Dismissed? Like, we ain't asking no questions. It's like, right? Remember when the law was statutory rape, which indicated that there's no mens rea necessary? Like, you get caught with it. Like, it's the act itself. It's statute. You lock up. So the question is, should a police officer be removed from duty if found guilty of an offense of this nature?
And this is where I come in.
Yes, right? Sir.
I appreciate the judge's decision to fine $15,000. That's what they decide. I'm okay. And the reason why I'm okay, because I understand that persons who got convicted of vehicular manslaughter is charged even less. And that's someone whole life.
Yeah, none of that is okay.
Yeah, and I know I'm just trying to juxtaposing it and seeing how, what's the difference, right? My concern is regarding the police force, the commission of police, and how they deal with their officers. This is a serious crime mm-hmm. or issue. And I would assume that the commissioner should have issued a statement automatically.
Okay, so you're not in this moment questioning the sentence that was issued.
No, I'm not questioning.
But more about police procedure in this matter. After making that distinction, let's get back to that. Mm-hmm. My producer is in the building, and before the Four Seasons Race Management Running in Love 3 taking place this Saturday, we're giving away to one winner a pair of everything. The winner of this trivia will get 2 complimentary race entries, 2 swag bags, 2 t-shirts, 2 race bibs. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Family Island listeners, that number is toll free. Yeah, you could come to Nassau and run in the race, or, you could give it to somebody in Nassau who you know is going to appreciate this opportunity to participate. So here is the trivia question again. If you go to FourSeasonsRaceManagement.com and you look for the flyer for this event, you will find the answer right there on that flyer. Here is the question. Who are the recipients of this year's, quote, proceeds, Seasons Race Management's Running in Love race series? Every year, Running in Love race gives a part of their earnings, what they generate, to a family or an individual in need. Of course, the event is sponsored by City of Hope. And so this year, they have selected individuals to receive part proceeds. And so the question is, who are the recipients of part proceeds from the Four Seasons Race Management's 2025 Running in Love race season? Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. The text line, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Our boy, I have a text here that says that he doesn't agree with that fine, and he's upset with anybody who agrees that that fine is appropriate. But he's making a point that at this moment, he's not prepared to interrogate, like, the reasoning of the judge. That's what you're saying?
That. See, if, I'm not sure what's the penalty for attempted begging. I'm not sure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That might be probation, full stop, counseling, as a penalty, full stop. Because I don't know what's the crime for begging. Right?
For procurement, it's in the books.
Procurement of what?
Of a minor.
Yeah, but I'm not sure.
Of sex with
a
minor.
Maybe they're saying corruption of a minor. And again, I'm not sure what is the penalty for corruption of the minor. It could have been a suspended sentence. It could have been counseling. This has the $15,000, and I'm assuming everything else comes with it. This is a penalty. And the idea is saying, okay, I don't want the $15,000 penalty, but I prefer to get the probation instead. That's style odd to me, right?
What do you mean?
See, I don't.
No. I don't think people are saying not the fine, but probation. I don't think that's what people are saying at all.
I don't know the penalty for, again,
Or
corruption of a minor.
No, he was charged with attempting to procure sex from a minor. Yeah. This was, from what I've read in the, and producer prepped the form for me, what I've read, this was determined by examining the text. That communications via text that were captured. So they know what happened. There's that's an offense, and that's detailed. Yeah. Are you saying you don't know what the internal police procedures are?
No, I haven't reached there yet.
Okay.
I don't know what is the usual maximum penalty for that.
All right.
And then I assume the judge weighed that and find that the $15,000 plus whatever it is adequate.
All right, stick a pin. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
I would like to answer the question. It's Mario and Tiffany Curry. Recipients for the 2025.
Absolutely, you are correct. This year, part proceeds or the benefactors, the beneficiaries, the people who will benefit from our generous effort in participating in this race. Well, it is the health fund of Mario and Tiffany Curry. Absolutely correct. Producer, please take the caller's name and your contact information so that we can pass that on to Four Seasons Race Management. And you getting ready to run in love?
Oh, yeah.
You have somebody to run in love with?
Oh, yes.
Good stuff. Good
Always.
Stuff. Because I offer a service.
Thank you.
Like if you need a niece to run with you in love, I hear.
Okay, Mom.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
So hold the line. The producer's going to pick up. There you go. All right, Mr. Nuri, let's get back to that. And thank you.
Yes, like I said, I don't know the penalty. And then I would want to weigh that penalty. If it's a suspended sentence, if it's a 2-week sentence, if it's a probation, if it's counseling,
Okay, so here's the next question. What do you think the sentence should be, A, for an ordinary citizen attempting to procure sexual intercourse from someone they know is a minor?
And I do not know. I have nothing to measure it with.
Let me, what you think it should be?
Maybe counseling, 6 months.
For an adult attempting to procure sex from a minor.
I see what we do to adult molesting children. That's a year and 2 years and thing, right? And when you weigh in it, I see what they're maximum begging is something different. You know, putting that juxtapose and lowering the sentence in terms of severity. Then now I have to question whether the $15,000 is harsh.
See, I imagine that people who have
$15,000, they need to come by.
Which will, let me take us right to our next point. Do you think, see, because here's what I could be honest with you. Here's what I think. I think an officer who has been found guilty of an offense like this should be removed from the service.
I agree. That is wholeheartedly. We agree.
How do you pay a fine if you don't have a job? Is that the reason why? And who's the fine being paid to? Is the fine being paid to the court, to the state? Is the fine being paid to the family?
I remember reading that.
Read that story, the Frederick Street traffic fatality, mm-hmm. where the driver was ordered to pay $20,000 compensation to the family of the individual who was killed mm-hmm. in the accident. Like, what exactly is happening? Let's go to the text line. Text, I gonna need to read that text in the break to make sure that I could read it out loud. Here's another text. Say, counseling, take his Fox Hill card. I think he's talking to
me. Hey, more like me.
I think, yeah.
But see, we know that counseling has to be an option, right? He has to come back in society. We have a serial groper we keep on releasing every 3-4 months who goes and grope other women all over Nassau, right? He cannot be in prison for life. His sentence will be 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, whatever it is. But we know that when he comes out, he has a mental illness. And if he has a mental illness, then he needs to have an intervention to either cure him or subdue whatever urges he has. This particular police officer clearly has an issue. He finds attractive young girls. I don't know how that is.
Pause. Before we go there.
Go ahead.
The officer himself says that he declared.
Yeah.
He's never been involved in anything like this.
So he say.
I mean, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
There needs to be an intervention. Because he's out now. He will be out and about. And if you're just going to put him out intervention and say, make sure such things doesn't increase or proliferate. And you say, okay, don't worry, he out. Someone should intervene and say, you cannot go in society without the counseling. Something is wrong. You're broken.
So do we need to amend the Sex Offender Registry Act to include a provision that perhaps individual guilty of a category of offenses would be required to engage continuous counseling services as a part of their sentence or as a part of the registry process?
It should be something that can be considered, but that's when you human rights activists, people like advocates like yourself, to lobby. It's not necessarily for the court to lobby because they're not seeing the need. But you seeing the need to say, hey, can you amend this and we will, for the good of humanity and society? And then these things will be considered.
But this, so this last week's paper, the offender Cooper, that's an individual that was referenced, was charged again.
Oh, yes. He was charged again. This was his third grouping or fourth grouping now.
For another grouping offense. When an individual like presents to the court or to investigators, when an individual says things like, I can't help myself.
I can't help myself.
Right? Then what do we do at that point? Because the offender is telling you they have an issue beyond their control. Mm-hmm. They cannot control themselves. Do we then deem that a mental health issue? And then we can invoke legislation that enables a different type of detainment or incarceration?
That's if someone recommended. I don't think we're prepared to have that debate as yet, because nobody's advocating to say, hey, something is wrong with that boy. Let's have an intervention and make sure that he has the help.
No, advocates, I know that women's rights advocates...
They have
indicated that the recourse or the solutions that are available right now are insufficient.
No, I'm talking about this particular case. Not that...
With the officer?
Yep. No, with the Cooper.
With Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not with this particular... I haven't heard a statement yet with this particular charge, but... There is a statement in today's paper that may cover that, right? I think there is in today's Guardian. In fact, there is an article in today's Guardian that may reference that case. Mm. I haven't read it in its entirety yet, right? But women's rights advocates have spoken about what is available in the law to appropriately and effectively address the circumstance that arises when you have an individual that is a prolific offender that has been registered on the sex offenders registry, but the legislation available cannot address effectively the issue, right? So I know that.
Okay.
The question is, were the legislators listening? Were they taking it seriously? Were they in governance mode or were they in politics mode? And did they shut down their ears because the same people making those requests are also the people who have been demanding the criminalization of marital rape?
One of the also should be considered issues to be considered is the plea bargaining new concept. It seems like a number of Texas in particular, I do not appreciate plea bargaining at all. They prefer to go through the court system, and if a person is off, they just get off and get nothing. Instead of having a plea where it's negotiated, they plead guilty and go straight to a summary judgment.
I don't think people have a problem with that part.
Okay.
I think people have a problem with the results of the plea bargain.
But that's what the results of the plea bargain.
No.
But what's the issue? What's the reason for a plea bargain? Let's get to that first. Why does plea bargaining exist?
Plea bargaining exists. You know why plea bargaining exists? It exists to band-aid a broken judicial system.
So you disagree?
Fundamentally, I disagree with plea bargaining.
Okay.
And if I have to compromise and accept it, what I'm telling you I disagree with now is the nature of the penalties applied in the plea bargaining process.
So you don't mind plea bargaining, but you want the severity of it not being a plea bargain?
Okay, for instance, I understand why the state likes plea bargaining. And then separate from that, I understand the value that plea bargaining brings
or
represents. It has some value. Mm. I don't think it has been applied appropriately. And I think there have been a number of instances that have arisen where particular charges or offenses either should not have received the penalty that it did. For instance, we have the case with the 22-year-old man who, I'm going to say, brutally raped a senior citizen,
mm-hmm.
right? He, after plea bargaining, I think received a total of 24 years,
mm-hmm.
right? With all the cases, all the sentences piled up,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. Because that's the plea bargain, right? You mm-hmm. plea bargain down
mm-hmm.
to these penalties. But then, on top of the years being reduced, then a part of the plea deal is he serves them concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
No. If you already reduce the years, reduce it again by making the person serve it concurrently as opposed to consecutively.
And I hear the criticism. Now, imagine the state does not have the resources.
No. Imagine that the state has the resources, but they refuse to spend it where it's necessary.
But we always know that that is a fact. But imagine the state does not have the resources and they risk a not guilty verdict because of lack of resources, lack of time, because it takes 3, 4, 5, 6 years to bring it to a conclusion.
If I worked in a private firm, I would have been fired 4-5 years ago.
You'd be fired and then replace them with the same type of people and risk all of that when you could have done a plea bargain and get the person off the street.
Okay, stick a pin. I appreciate that argument. I want you to know I appreciate it soundly. Mm-hmm. Here's the next part. Here's the issue that I have with plea bargaining and the manner in which it operates here in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So we have another issue that we seem to forget, like the purpose of the law. The law no longer becomes a deterrent, right? The law is no longer a deterrent. If people see that with a little plea bargaining and plea dealing, they could take a sentence that should have resulted in 50 years, mm-hmm. right, for grievous crimes. It's not like 50 years, like I've been petty thiefing, salty and baggy out the shop for 20 years, right? Mm. And the amass of $75,000 and 1,000 charges. Mm-hmm. And I plea deal down. That's not what's happening, right? It's not a bunch of petty crimes. Plea deal. These are heinous crimes. These are grievous crimes that are being reduced considerably. And then concurrent sentences are being offered? I don't think it makes sense.
So we await now to hear the commission and her conclusion regarding this particular police officer. Clearly, this police officer should not be near children. Even though he said this is the first time and only time.
It doesn't matter what he says.
He should not be near children. And because it's a serious issue, and especially the police force dealing with what they call honorable officers, and they get involved in people's personal life because you, however they're mandated, one would assume that the commissioner of police will now intervene and say, you no longer have the integrity to serve on the police force. And then that's not like automatic. You just expect her now to make that judgment.
Here's my thing. I've interacted with police at my home, break in, right? This or that. Somebody drive a truck into the pole in front of my house, like right next to my house and just left it there. Never ever, Mr. Newry, have I thought, as a teenager, I thought to go in my mother's phone or address book, mm-hmm. attempt to find the number of the officer that attended the scene or attended the matter, and then call them to call them to see if they interested in frying. I just ain't never, ever.
No, never consider it. Never thought it was an option.
And even never thought it would be possible. Like, mm-hmm. which school is producing students bright enough and smart enough to be able to discern which police officer would be susceptible to this type of engagement. Mm. And if there is a school doing that, then why we don't have a slew of Chevening scholars around here and Rhodes scholars around here, since the young people, them so smart and beyond their age. All right, producer, let's go to the phone line quickly, and then I want to get to another headline. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, I don't know if you read my text, so I'll call in, all right? The narrative of no one is above the law, right, is basically only theoretical because, we say that, but in reality, when we observe, we see that some people are above the law because people have gotten away with crimes, all manner of crimes. I won't say what because, you know, how the radio airwaves go. The police officers, they have gotten away with all type of BS for decades, okay? I'm not calling the lambast any police, but they have the ability and the capacity to sweep things under the rug because of the infrastructure that is here. Now, the new commission is saying that they will have new measures of reporting in place. Number one, she should have a town hall meeting and consult with people because this dictatorial type moving forward is not going to work. Firstly, they need to move the unit from off the barracks compound altogether, Ms. Green, because automatically from somebody goes there, Somebody could say, oh, I saw this particular person. Or you could say, well, look out for this person to see if they come in. You know the complaint. You heard the lady the other day in the newspaper. Nobody's talking about it. The family says police raid was retaliation.
In today's paper.
It was or not. The fact that the lady said that the officer said, you think we didn't see on the news, is the reason why they should have cameras. So we should be able to document whether the officer said that or not. They're getting too personal. They're still allowed to have masks on. Now, what I want to say is related to what you were talking about. Me as a young man will tell you this. Any man that I have turned down, you know, to me all of my life, okay? I was cycling through Camp Road years ago and with some young ladies on the porch and they were seeking and doing this. This is something you have to be a man of. I can't allow myself to go to jail for, you know what I mean, like what they possess. Mm-hmm. Because that is not worth it. If I could go and spend 7, 8 years, 15 years in jail for piece of vagina, what that simply means is that my life has no value. So I don't know. I'm not going to feel sorry for this officer. I'm not even worrying about the young, even if the young lady had engaged him. Because I've been engaged before. Anybody in the city knows that. You can see the little young girls, that they jump in the gun, they wearing a little boom-boom shorts, they're looking for attention. But come on, man, be a man. You know what I mean? Come on, be a man.
Thank you. Thank you very much. See, here's another thing that concerns me greatly about this. It's the manner in which the police speak or don't speak, because this is just like a report from the court, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, I don't know if there has been a formal statement from the Commissioner of Police speaking to this matter, because I'm not certain what's going on with the Royal Bahamas Police Force website. I'm not certain what's going on with their
communique. They got a new website, by the way.
Oh, no, I saw it. I mean, you mean like in the last 3 days?
In the last 3 days. Like the name changed.
Again? Because it was Royal Bahamas Police Force.org.
Yeah.
And then remember I was having conversations about it. Somehow it appeared as if mm-hmm. they lost the domain name.
It appears as if that happened.
Right? And then I found Royal Bahamas Police.
Yes.
.org.
Yes.
Right? And then as of 2025, the crime reports page looks entirely different.
Mm.
There are no crime reports posted on the website that I can access through the links that are visible to me. It leads me to the 2024, 2023, and preceding? Crime reports.
Mm.
Right? Where does the PACD, which is a police something communications department,
mm-hmm.
where do they release, where's the initial dissemination point for their briefings? I see them on the Facebook website. I see them disseminated all over the place, but sometimes people take editorial license and add words to the police briefing that you, the ordinary reader, wouldn't be able to confirm if you can't find the original briefing. Where are these things posted, right? But see, this matter, and I guess the lack of communication from the police, isn't existing in a vacuum. It's existing in a space where we're reading headlines like this. Now, this is just a headline. Quote, no police link to bank car killings, close quote. That's just a headline. That the commissioner would have to say no police link to bank car killings suggests to me that the other story, $15,000 fine, we are not taking these matters seriously. Here's what I mean. If you know that a police officer is before the courts, you know that his sentence is going to be delivered shortly, you're supposed to be prepared with a press statement from the Royal Bahamas Police Force to be available to the media so that they could incorporate it into the story that you know they're going to publish about a police officer who was fined $15,000 for trying to solicit sex from a minor.
It just proves that they're inadequate. But I mean, it wholeheartedly proves that inadequate again, and we must now start to interrogate the new commissioner of police. But I still want waiting for you to transition into this particular headline.
Okay, no police link to bank car killings as today's Tribune, and then we're gonna transition to.
Do you remember when no police see the bank robbery at all, in terms of soliciting and. What do you call it when you call it when you extorting? There's no police.
You mean the time pre the voice notes?
We're gonna, pre the voice notes.
Producer, thank you very much. We're going to go to a break. And to the texter, I tell you, in the break, I can read this text and see if I could read it out loud. Mm-hmm. It was a bit lengthy. I wanted to assess it properly. Because sometimes I take license text and I won't be careful. But what you were saying just now?
No, man, we can take a break first because this needs to be interrogated properly. Because once upon a time, the police were not aware of any type of corruption within the force.
Again, at all?
At all.
Yeah.
So this hints towards them still not being aware.
You're on the clock with Erin Green. We're going to a break. Please stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM because we'll be right back.
Fall in love with your water service this February with the Water and Sewage Corporation Sweet Savings Campaign. Pay your bill in full on or before the due date. Complete the entry form, and we'll sweeten the deal with a 5% discount on your next bill. That's right, save some sweet cash just by keeping your account current. It's simple, it's easy, and it's our way of saying thank you for being a valued customer. Don't miss out. Offer runs from February 1st to the 28th. Show your water service some love and enjoy the savings that come with it. Visit our website at wsc.com.bs today to learn more. Pay in full, save more. It's that simple with Sweet Savings. The Water and Sewage Corporation, life with Sweet Savings this Valentine's Day.
You're a builder. You want to give your client the best material at the best prices, and you need to put food on the table. Well, check out these prices at Pinder Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply starting at $36.68 includes VAT. By the way, all these prices include VAT. Gray Select Water Shield, 134.20 a roll. Felt, 15 pounds, 16.50, 30 pounds, 19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles and CertainTeed Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon of Roof Cement, $33.47. When it comes to screwing and nailing, Pinder got you covered. He got every nail and screw you could possibly need.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic? Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear you're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
He's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.
You work hard for your money, so let your money work hard for you. With as little as $1,000 to start, you can watch your money grow by investing in CFAL's Bahamian dollar and U.S. dollar mutual funds, each tailored to match your unique investment profile. Our expert advisors are dedicated to crafting personalized investment strategies to help you achieve your financial goals. Don't want the chance to earn higher returns on your hard-earned money. Join the thousands of investors who trust CFAL and start your journey toward financial freedom today. Visit us at CFAL.com to learn more about our saving and investment options. And let us help you build wealth so you can live well. CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Okay, we're going to go through this headline quickly. No police link to bank car killings. Two more officers may face charges in corruption probe. Police Commissioner Shanton Knowles said investigations into the murders of Michael Fox Jr. and Dino Smith have uncovered no evidence linking police involvement. However, she said two officers may potentially face charges as part of the ongoing corruption probe. Police Commissioner said investigations, repeated Mr. Newry, Police Commissioner Shanton Knowles said investigations into the murders of Michael Fox Jr. and Dino Smith have uncovered no evidence linking police involvement. However, she said two officers may potentially face charges as part of the ongoing corruption probe. Are the murders of these two guys a part of the ongoing corruption probe? Or are they two separate things?
I interpret it as two separate things. They're seeking or investigating the corruption probe. And then whatever else turn up in that investigation.
If the results of the corruption probe prove that one of the voices on the voice note was indeed a senior police officer, then at that point, once it's been determined by the authorities or within the procedures of the trial that that voice one of those voices is actually a police officer. Because that's the corruption pro part, right? Mm-hmm. If it's that officer in particular, who we all know and it's been said publicly is a part of the corruption probe, then at that point, will we say there's no link?
I think, and I'm just going by memory, and don't quote me for the number, I think it's about 6 officers who have been charged formally, give or take, right, for this particular series of corruption probe, and they investigating corruption within the force. There is one particular incident, this is about the bank robbery, right? And all of these people who, police officers who you see are being brought before the court are connected in some way to this particular incident, right? We know that the men who were involved in the bank robbery, bank robbery, all have mysteriously died, right? We don't know how, why they died, but they got killed violently and whatever it is.
COVID is killing violently.
Yeah, the COVID too. There are some. There are many behemoths. There is police involvement, right? We've been hearing that rumors for a while, possibly, right? There needs to be someone sober enough to say, okay, I hear your complaints. Let me go do a thorough investigation to see if there's any linkage to satisfy those doubters to say, well, we've done it. And then come back to the public and say, these are things that we have done to check what your claims, and now we can dismiss your claims. Before, for even though people being, especially the father of the deceased for the corruption claim, have been saying these police officers are involved, right, for whatever reason. And he was dismissed. Man, that you're talking foolishness. That's not true. And now we see it's a bigger investigation, people getting arrested and charged, right, from his continuous agitation. Right, so to dismiss it, to say, well, casually, as we investigate, there is no linkage. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's appropriate.
Producer, let's go to the phone line, and then I'm going to continue to read from the article. Good morning, caller.
Hello. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
You got a lot of music playing in the background.
Oh,
I like it though. I just saying, I like it.
In reference to the police and the commissioner and the issue of the corruption, right? I want to say that I'm still looking for what happened with the officer, Sergeant Campbell, not receiving or being ruled endowed of any accolades for his valiant what shall I say? But that king here, Lord of Drugs in Crooked Island, with the king here, 1,200 something kilos.
Okay.
You see? So, also, I don't know what stamping of corruption situation in reference to the inspector.
You got to talk louder than the music, cousin.
Pardon me?
You have to talk louder than the music. I know why you're playing it, but you got to talk louder than the music.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I and the commissioner, you know, I called for her to make an announcement in reference to those officers and who should be still on the force and who should not be on the force. You see, because if we're going to be serious about dealing with corruption in our armed forces, we need to know in that case about those officers, because I'm calling that Sergeant Campbell needs to be recognized for his brave and good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Absolutely.
All right.
Every breath you take, I'll be watching you, Noreen. Mm-hmm. Be watching you with my CCTV camera. We're going to continue to read from the article, No Police Link to Bank Car Killings. Quote, nothing in our investigation of homicides or the murders that occurred in 2024 suggested police officers are involved. If members of the public have direct information that can assist with us, with those investigations, please bring it forward. we are not afraid to deal with our own. As you can see, we have put officers before the courts in connection with the heist. And if we find officers wanting in any murder case, we certainly will look for the evidence and put them before the courts, close quotes. Leaked voice notes that purportedly captured a conversation between several people, including Michael Fox Jr., surrounding a $1.5 million airport bank truck heist in November 2023, stunned the public last year. Fox Jr. and Smith were killed last year, and their deaths sparked rampant speculation about police involvement. Last month, four police officers were charged with attempting to extort a suspect in the bank truck heist. Before that, two others were charged.
See the word speculation? The public had a mounted, but in fact, initially there was no evidence connecting any police at all. Let's get dismissed. Of course not. Then through a voice note, we see that the speculation may have had some type of truth to it. And from that speculation then to the voice note, now we see in several, up to about six now, police officer has been arrested. There's also speculation about the police being involved in the shootings. And I'm saying that it needs to be looked at thoroughly and not dismissed flippantly. So we could either say, yes, we are sure. But at this present time, I am uneasy by the casual dismissal because of how the speculation was dismissed first initially, and then it came to fruition that there's some kind of creed in some place.
Producer, prep the phone line. Caller, you have 30 seconds. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA.
Good morning.
My question is, the Commissioner of Police said that they saw 62% percent of all the homicides, right?
Mm-hmm.
Within that 62%, the persons who were involved in that heist at the airport, were any of those solved?
No. Well, if I read again, I don't get the impression that they are.
So they never found the individuals who killed these four persons who were involved in that situation, right?
There's been no declaration that they have identified and are prepared to charge.
They never found who killed those six individuals out on, where was it? Pipeform Addition, somewhere around there?
In the Kemp Road area, Jerome Avenue, Chesapeake intersection?
Right.
In the northeast quadrant?
Yeah.
Of the intersection?
That's another cold case file, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, come on. Now, when things like these happen, how come you could solve all of the other murders, right? But these, at least, my God, at least if you saw one out of the four,
don't say
that's saying something to me.
Don't say
but
it. That's
none?
That's the best math test ever. If you score one out of the four, you get 100%.
Yeah.
I gotta go, caller.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Caller, you got 25 seconds. Ah, boy, caller, my producer has indicated that we have run out of time. Let me read this last text as we go. Parents, independent and contemporaneous accounts, both Fox and Dino Smith told their parents, quote, if something happens to me, release this tape to the media, close quotes. Rational thinking persons would then ask, well, what was on this tape so? Well, apparently an alleged conversation discussing making this $1.4 million robbery charge go away. Rational thinking persons would go on to ask plenty more questions. Texter, we get the gist of what you're saying. I gotta go. I'm out of time. My producer's being very patient with me, and for that I say thank you, sir. But don't go anywhere, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. So please stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.